Today, I was going to try to focus on some of the more practical issue, especially this year, as even maybe some people will go to Minyan, but some people won't go to Minyan. And the question is, what to do if you're alone at home and you don't have someone else to recite the Birchas HaTorah for you and you stay up all night, assuming that you don't take any naps during the night at all? You would take a sleep.
I have a whole case of 5-hour energy, so I plan on taking one on the hour.
Okay, good. So the question is, what to do if you're up all night learning and you're at home? What do you do? Do you recite Birchas HaTorah or not? So just to give a basic background of understanding the Birchas HaTorah, I said if anyone has a sitter, just to open up, I just have the regular art scroll on page 16, the Birchas HaTorah, that if you notice, there's three different brachas which we recite daily over the Torah, right? The first bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu La'asok B'divrei Torah. That we thank Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to study the words of Torah. That bracha is clearly mirrors a bracha called Birchas HaMitzvos. We have different types of categories of brachas we instituted. So for the one most common one is a Birchas HaMitzvah, right? Whenever you shake a lulav, you sit in the sukkah, text of the bracha is, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvos, who sanctified me in the mitzvos. That means I have an obligation to do a mitzvah. And we would refer to what the mitzvah is. So that's the first type of mitzvah, first type of bracha which we recite over the Torah, is a bracha of over a mitzvah. Now, the second bracha we recite is very interesting. It's V'harevna, we ask Hashem to make the Torah sweet in our mouth. I'm not going to go through the whole bracha. And then the bracha ends off, Hamalamed Torah L'Amo Yisrael. So this is the second type of category of a mitzvah we have, which is called Birchas Hanehenin. Birchas Hanehenin is before you eat food, right? If you want to have food or smell a good fragrance, besamim, or anything of pleasure, you recite a bracha. So it's interesting that this is not so common. We don't find this by other mitzvahs, but regarding Torah, we recite a bracha before taking pleasure in the Torah. Because the Torah is very pleasurable, and we recite a bracha. And not only do we recite a bracha over the pleasure, we actually ask Hashem to make the Torah sweet in our mouth. There's just a side point I'll speak out that there's a question, why don't we find a bracha to ask Hashem to make the mitzvah of sukkah sweet in our mouth, or the mitzvah of Shabbos sweet in our mouth? The only time we daven to Hashem to make a mitzvah sweet in our mouth is when it comes to Torah. Why is Torah unique? So there's a great explanation from Rav Tzadok HaKohen, and he explains as follows. He says that all other mitzvahs, if you're having a problem connecting to a mitzvah, what do? How do you try to get focus and get a better understanding to relate to the mitzvah? By studying Torah. Right? If you're having a hard time connecting with Shabbos or Tefillin, so go learn a sefer about Shabbos or Tefillin. That will help you, you know, connect to the mitzvah better. But Torah, what are you supposed to do if you're having a hard time connecting to Torah? You can't study Torah if you're having a hard time. So the only thing to do is to daven to Hashem to make it sweet. That's what he explains. So that's the second category of a bracha. So far we have a bracha of a mitzvah, and we have a bracha of hanenin, a bracha over benefit. And the third type of bracha is called a birchas hoda, a bracha of thanks. We thank Hashem, asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, and this is the bracha recited when we get an aliyah also, the same bracha. We thank Hashem for choosing us and giving us his Torah. We say baruch atah Hashem, nosin ha'Torah. So these are the three types of categories of brachas. So again, we have three brachas recited daily over the Torah. One is a birchas hamitzvah upon the performance of the mitzvah. Two is a bracha of birchas hanenin about the pleasure of Torah. And three is a birchas hodah of thanking Hashem. Now, it's interesting to point out that this whole thing about the three unique brachas is only on a rabbinic level. That means On a rabbinic level, Chazal instituted to recite different types of bracha, similar to tefillah, davening. Right? The mitzvah to daven maybe is a deraisa, as a Torah level. But what you have to say every day, that's rabbinic. The same thing is with Birchas HaTorah. The obligation to recite Torah, as we'll see in a moment, is a Torah obligation. But what to recite and what type of bracha, that's rabbinic. Okay, so where we just said that we discussed three types of brachas on a rabbinic level. But what's the obligation on a Torah level? So that we have to go to a Gemara in Brachos, and the Gemara on Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph, I'm just going to read, quote, small lines. But the Gemara tells us, Amar Rab Yehuda, the Gemara in Brachos on 21a, tells us, Minayin Lebirchas HaTorah Lefaneha Min HaTorah. Where do we derive the obligation to recite a bracha over the Torah? So the Gemara tells us a very interesting pasuk. The pasuk is in Sefer Devarim, and it says, Kishem Hashem Echa. When I call out the name of God, Havu Godel Elokeinu, I have to give him praise. And the Marsha explains that every word of Torah is really the letters of the Aleph Beis, which is the letters of Hashem's name. So when I learn Torah, when I call out the name of Hashem, I have to give praise and recite a bracha before. So this is where we derive a Gemara, it's clear Gemara, that the obligation to recite a bracha upon the Torah daily is a biblical obligation, is min ha-Torah. So the question is, though, what type of a bracha is one obligated to recite on a Torah level? Is it a birchas ha-mitzvah? Is it a bracha recited upon a mitzvah, let's say lulav and shofar? There's an obligation. Before performing a mitzvah, you have to recite a bracha. Or perhaps the bracha of the Torah is a birchas hoda, a bracha over thanks. Let's say thanking Hashem for being saved from a miracle or something upon that type of line. So what is it on a Torah level? What is the obligation? And we'll see there's going to be a lot of practical differences, as we'll see, and hopefully get back to our original question. So to start, the first question is someone who sleeps. What happens if someone sleeps? Do they have to recite a bracha? And we'll see, it's not only a question if you sleep at night, even if you sleep during the daytime, right? Let's say people have more time on their hands now, maybe. So let's say you decide to take a big nap, 3-hour nap in the day, or let's say even a half an hour nap. When you wake up from that nap, do you have to recite a new Birchas HaTorah? So just to begin the preface, there's actually an interesting Tosfos who asked that we find a difference between the bracha of a Torah and a bracha of other mitzvahs. Let's say, for example, sukkah. On sukkahs, when you eat in the sukkah, you recite a bracha. Now, let's say you go out of your sukkah, go inside your house, or go to shul, and you come back to the sukkah. Every time you come back, you have to recite a new bracha upon the performance of the mitzvah. So why is Torah any different? If you go to the bathroom and you come out of the bathroom, maybe you have to recite a new bracha over the mitzvah. There was a pause in between your bracha and the mitzvah. So just like sukkah, you go to the, not go to the bathroom, but if you take a break, a significant break, and you come back to your sukkah, you have to recite a new bracha. So maybe the same thing should apply to a Birchas HaTorah. If you take a significant break, right, you go out to buy groceries, you come back an hour later, and now you want to set up yourself for the next Zoom class for the kollel, maybe you have to make a new bracha. Maybe we should put it on the Zoom screen, right? A new bracha every time. So Tosfos asked this question, and he says something very interesting. He says that Torah is unique, that a person never fully is miyayish daito. It means he doesn't totally forget about Torah. A person's mind, basically, is always on the Torah. As opposed to a mitzvah, while you're engrossed in that specific mitzvah of lulav or shofar or sukkah, you're doing the mitzvah. When you take a break, so you left that mitzvah, you forgot about it. When you come back, you start it again. But Torah is always on your mind. So even if you're not physically learning Torah or studying Torah, performing a mitzvah, but there's some type of subconscious mind that the Torah is always on your mind, so you don't have to recite a bracha every time you take a break doing something. But what about sleep? That might be good if someone goes to the grocery store. But what about if someone actually goes to sleep? Then you can't say a person's mind's on the Torah. You're totally out of it. You're sleeping. So there's a very interesting argument brought down in the Torah. So the Torah brings down an argument in Simen Mem Zayin in Sif Yud Aleph. The Torah brings from the Rush as follows, that if a person would sleep, we'll talk about the distinction between a nap and sleep soon. What constitutes as a nap? What's sleep? But if a person takes a Sheinas Keva, a permanent sleep, not just fall asleep on the couch or, reading a book on the table for a couple minutes, a real sleep. We'll see what that means. But if someone sleeps during the daytime, the Rush writes that that's considered a hefsek, that's considered a pause in between the bracha and the performance of the mitzvah, and one would be obligated to recite a new bracha. So according to the Rush's opinion, if one takes a significant sleep during the daytime, they have to recite a new bracha upon awaking. However, the Beis Yosef argues with this, and he says that we don't paskin like this, and we don't hold that one who takes a significant rest during the day is required to make a new bracha. And he explains, based on the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that the bracha is recited daily. Right? Let's say if someone stays up all night without sleeping at night, is there a requirement to make a bracha or not? So Rabbeinu Tam writes, yes, the bracha is instituted to be recited daily regardless if one sleeps or not. So the Beis Yosef says, just like when someone wakes, in every morning one's obligated to recite the bracha regardless of sleep or not, that means sleep doesn't make a difference. That means even if you sleep during the daytime, that would not obligate you to make a bracha because the bracha has nothing to do with sleeping. It's just a bracha instituted daily. So we have a big argument over here between the Rush and the Beis Yosef, quoting Rabbeinu Tam, whether if one slept during the daytime, they would be obligated to recite a new bracha or not. Now, what is this logic based on? So perhaps this is dependent on what we said, whether there's an obligation. What is the obligation of the bracha of the Torah? Is it a bracha of a mitzvah? So that means every time there's a significant pause between your bracha and your performance of the mitzvah, that would obligate one to make a new bracha. So thus, the Rush opines that if one slept a significant amount of time, that's a pause between the bracha and the performance of the mitzvah, and one would be obligated to recite a new bracha. That's the opinion of the Rush. Whereas the Beis Yosef says, no, the bracha is a bracha of thanks. It's not a bracha upon the performance of the mitzvah. It's a bracha about thanking Hashem, and that's a bracha instituted daily, regardless if you slept or not. So therefore, sleep would not change anything because it's a requirement once a day. No, doesn't matter how many times you slept in the middle or not. So seemingly, this would be a good way to understand this argument. Now, what's the halacha? We have this argument in the Rishonim between the Rush and the Rabbeinu Tam, whether sleep is considered a hefsek, a significant pause, and one would be obligated to recite a new bracha or not. How do we paskin? What's the bottom line? So the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Mem Zayin, who is the same author as the Beis Yosef, so he probably follows what he wrote in the Beis Yosef, he brings two opinions. He says the first opinion is that sleep is a pause and one would be obligated to recite a new bracha. And another opinion, it's not. And that's how we follow. He says the Beis Yosef, so the Mechaber, follows that if one slept during the daytime, there would not be an obligation to recite a new bracha. So you could go ahead and take a big nap today, 3 hours, and you don't have to make a new bracha. However, the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, argues, and he says, no, I follow the opinion of the Rush, that if you sleep, you do have to make a new bracha. So again, this argument between the Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon is based on what we said, whether the bracha is a bracha upon the performance of a mitzvah, and therefore, if there's a significant pause, one would be required to make a new bracha, or it's just a daily institution to recite a bracha to thank Hashem for giving us the Torah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah actually writes, very interesting, that he actually brings some opinions that says if you sleep during the day, actually it's a good thing to make a new bracha. But he seems to come out that the minhag, the custom, has become not to make a bracha. So there seems to be views on both ends, whether it's okay to make a bracha or not. But the common custom is that nobody makes a bracha just because they wake up, they take a nap during the daytime. So if you take a nap during the day, you don't have to, or sleep during the day, there is no requirement, and that's the Ikar Halacha, but there is an opinion of the Vilna Gaon and some other Rishonim that one is obligated, but that's not the common Halacha. So just getting to what we said about what's the difference between a nap and sleep. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that this is more common, let's say, on an airplane. Someone goes on an airplane and, you know, they're on a hour, 2 hour flight and they take a rest, right? Some people, when the plane goes up, that's it. They shut their eyes and they wake up when it lands. So is that enough? When you wake up for such a sleep, is that considered a real sleep or is that just a nap? So actually the halacha is 30 minutes is the requirement to be considered sleep. And if someone slept 30 minutes, that's enough. But it has to be on a comfortable place. So it has to be either on a bed or maybe on a leaning back chair. But something or a similar, something which is considered a real sleep, not just like dozing off at the table. I'm sure everyone has their own questions about how they sleep or, you know, if they put up their feet, is that considered? So I would say whatever a person considers like really going to sleep, like something on a plane, that would be considered like a real sleep. You put your chair back and you really go to sleep as opposed to just dozing off. So half an hour of that would constitute a real sleep. And according to some opinions, that would obligate a bracha, but we said that the common halacha is not to. It's interesting that Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he's became very popular nowadays, but he quoted the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish wrote that any sleep during the day is considered a nap and not sleep. So there are opinions, I guess, in Bnei Brak, that's it. They don't go for sleep during the day. So there are opinions that nothing during the day would constitute a sleep. So till now we've been discussing if someone slept during the daytime, when they wake up during the daytime, is there an obligation to recite a new bracha or not? And we said it's an argument, and we follow that we don't make a bracha. But what about if someone, this is more common for Shavuos, if someone took a nap during the daytime and they stayed up the whole night of Shavuos. So now it's the next morning. Now is there an obligation to recite a bracha? So the opinion of Rav Akiva Eiger quoted in the Mishnah Berurah and others is that then everyone would agree that there is an obligation to recite a bracha. And he explains as follows. We said there's basically two reasons why we recite a bracha. Either it's because of a bracha upon the performance of a mitzvah, and thus if there's a hefsek, if there's interruption of sleep, that would require one to recite a new bracha. So therefore, if someone slept during the daytime, they're really obligated to recite a new bracha. But there's other opinions that we don't recite a bracha because maybe it's a just one time a day institution, that every morning you recite a bracha. But here, if someone slept during the daytime and they stayed up all night, and now it's the next morning, you have the best of both worlds. You slept during the day, so according to the opinions that is dependent on sleep, you're required to recite a bracha, and it's the next morning. So if there's a daily obligation to recite a bracha, regardless of sleep, you fulfill that obligation also. So you really get the best of both worlds. So Rav Akiva Eiger writes that it's a very practical thing. If someone's not around in a shul and they're staying up all night at home and they want to know if they could recite a bracha, okay, you have to work it out with your wives if you're allowed to take a nap. But just tell your wife, I need to go into a bed and take a real sleep, not a nap. So if you tell your wife that and she's okay with that and you take a decent sleep for half an hour in a bed, then Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes that one would be obligated to recite a bracha, a Birchas HaTorah, according to all opinions, because you have the nap during the day, and it's the next morning, So you have the aspect of a birchas hamitzvah, a bracha upon the mitzvah, and you have the aspect of a birchas hodah, thanking Hashem daily. So according to that, that would be the most simple, ideal way is to take a nap during the daytime, and then one would be able to recite a bracha by themselves the next morning if they stay up all night. If you slept during the night, that's for sure obligates a bracha. But we're talking someone staying up all night, and if they took a nap during the day, so the next morning, according to all opinions, one's allowed to recite a bracha. So that's the first concept. But let's say someone can't take a nap. What's the next thing to do? So there's another argument, which Josh said was discussed a little yesterday, about women reciting a bracha. So someone's at home, and his wife is reciting the Birchas HaTorah. Could his wife recite the bracha for her husband? Does that work? So this is actually another argument, that if you look in the Torah, the last sif in the Torah, actually not the Torah, the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef in Yud Dalet, he quotes in the name of the Agur, that women are obligated to recite a Birchas HaTorah daily. And he explains, why is that? Because they're also obligated to learn the Dinim HaShaychem Lahem. There's many mitzvahs women perform. All the mitzvahs HaSeh Shahazman Grama. Just on a side note, I thought it was an interesting thing. As we're coming up to Shavuos, we have Rus. Rus was Megayer. And there's an interesting question, and Chazal explained why she had the name Rus, but I saw a question, is that it's a very simple reason why she had the name Rus. Because Rus is the gematria of Reish is 200, Vav is 6, and Saf is 400. So 606. So 606 is the gematria Rus. And if you add 7, because she was already obligated in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, right, as every non-Jew is obligated in performing the 7 mitzvahs, so 606 plus 7 is 613. So why don't Chazal say that the reason she got the name Rus is because now she was Megayer, she converted, now she got, besides her 7 mitzvahs, 606 more, 613. That should be a simple reason why she has the name Rus. So I saw an answer from the Torah Tamima, and the Torah Tamima writes that really women are not obligated in all 613 because there's time-bound mitzvahs we know that women don't do. We're not going to get into that. That's a different sheer why. But there's time-bound mitzvahs which women don't perform. So therefore, you can't say that the reason why Rus had the name Rus was to signify that she was obligated in all 613, because that's not true, because there's some time-bound mitzvahs which wouldn't apply. But anyways, getting back to us, so the Beis Yosef writes that the reason women are obligated to recite a Birchas HaTorah, even if perhaps we'll see that they're not obligated to study Torah, right? They don't have the obligation of studying Torah, but nevertheless, they're obligated to study all the laws which pertain to them. They have to know how to run a kitchen. They have to know Hilchos Shabbos. I remember I once had a Rosh Yeshiva, and he said that it's very important for the husbands to learn halacha, because your wife's going to know more than you. She's going to ask you all these questions in the kitchen, and what are you going to tell her? I don't know halacha. So, of course, the women have to know halacha. That's what they teach in Beis Yaakov. She has to know how to run a kosher home. But it's important for the man also, on a side point, to know halacha. So the reason the Beis Yosef writes women have to make a bracha upon the Torah is because they have to learn the halachas which apply to them to understand how to perform the mitzvahs. So that's the opinion of the Beis Yosef. So this is the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch, that women, mevarachas birchas haTorah, women recite a bracha upon the Torah. However, the Vilna Gaon argues with this. And he says, how could we say that there's an obligation upon women to recite a bracha if women are not obligated upon the mitzvah of studying Torah? He says the bracha is dependent upon the mitzvah to study Torah. And if women are not obligated in that mitzvah to study Torah, so therefore they shouldn't recite a bracha. So why do they recite a bracha? He explains, because it's like any other time-bound mitzvah, that even though they're not obligated to do so, Nevertheless, they can make a bracha, right? The mitzvah of sukkah, or the mitzvah of lulav, even though it's a time-bound mitzvah, and women are really not obligated, nevertheless, they could go ahead and recite a bracha, at least Ashkenazim. Sfaradim don't. The Sfaradim do not recite a bracha on time-bound mitzvahs, but Ashkenazim do recite a bracha, so even though they're exempt from the performance of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but they're allowed to recite a bracha nevertheless. So we have two opinions between the we have an argument between the Beis Yosef and the Vilna Gaon as to why women recite a bracha. According to the Beis Yosef, the reason is because they're obligated to study the laws which pertain to them. As the Vilna Gaon argues, he says, no, they're really not obligated in Torah study, but they're allowed to recite a bracha as they could upon any other mitzvah which is time-bound, that even though they're exempt, nevertheless they could recite a bracha. Now, what's the nafkamina? What's the practical halachic difference between these two opinions? So the bir halacha, the last bir halacha in Birchas HaTorah, writes that the difference between these two opinions is whether a woman can recite the bracha for a man. According to the Beis Yosef, there's an obligation upon women to recite the bracha. So if they were obligated to recite the bracha, they could be motzi a man. They could make fulfill the man's obligation through their bracha. As opposed to the Vilna Gaon, they're really not obligated, but they're allowed to recite the bracha as they do by any time-bound mitzvah, but they're not really obligated, so therefore their bracha is different than the obligation of a man, and therefore one would not be allowed to recite it as on the man's behalf. So we have an argument whether women can recite the bracha for a man. So in the case that the first idea doesn't apply. If one wasn't allowed to get a bracha, get a sleep during the daytime, the next best thing to do is to ask your wife to make the bracha for you. So if you're home Shavuos morning and you stayed up all night and your wife didn't let you take a nap, you have to wake her up when it's time to daven to make a bracha for you, Birchas HaTorah. But again, that's also dependent on the argument that according to the Vilna Gaon, a woman would not be allowed to make a bracha. And just once we said that this argument also should be dependent on whether the bracha is a bracha upon the mitzvah. That if it's a bracha upon the mitzvah, then women are not obligated upon the mitzvah. That's why the Vilna Gaon writes that women who are not obligated in the mitzvah, they're not really obligated in the bracha. They could make the bracha, but they're not obligated. As opposed to the Shulchan Aruch, who understood, like he said, that the bracha is a bracha upon thanking Hashem. So the bracha is upon thanking Hashem, therefore women would be obligated in that, equal to men, because women have to thank Hashem for the Torah just like the men. And the reason why he writes that they're obligated to learn the Torah, which applies to the mitzvahs they're obligated in, that's just to show that they're also included in the Torah and they have to be thankful to Hashem for providing the Torah. So far we have two different arguments between the Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon, whether the bracha is a bracha upon the performance of the mitzvah or it's a bracha of thanks. In the Shulchan Aruch, who understood it's a bracha upon thanking Hashem, that's why he writes women are obligated, because even though they're not obligated upon the mitzvah of Torah study, they're obligated to thank Hashem. And also, he writes that sleep would not obligate one because it's a daily bracha to thank Hashem. Whereas the Vilna Gaon understood that the bracha is upon the performance of the mitzvah, therefore women are not obligated in studying Torah. They don't have a bracha upon the performance of the mitzvah. And he says that since it's a bracha upon performance of the mitzvah, if one slept, that would be an interruption, and the new bracha would be required upon awaking, and even during the daytime. There's one other example we find, another argument between the Vilna Gaon and the Shulchan Aruch regarding Birchas HaTorah, and perhaps this is also dependent on these two explanations, whether it's a bracha upon the performance of the mitzvah, or it's a bracha upon thanking Hashem. In Sif Dala, there's a question whether someone just thinks about Torah. Let's say he's on the walking to shul in the morning, and he's not going to read any sefer, he's not going to listen to a cassette, he's just going to think about the parsha in his head. He's not going to verbalize, he's not going to talk to anyone, He's just going to think about Torah in his head. Is one obligated to recite a bracha upon just thoughts of Torah or not? So the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is that one who just thinks about Torah is not obligated to recite a bracha. Hamahar b'divrei Torah sif dalet, eino tzarach levarach. One is not obligated to recite a bracha upon thoughts of Torah. And here again, the Vilna Gaon, following his reasoning that it's dependent upon a mitzvah, argues. He says, there's no mitzvah. He says, how could you say there's no bracha upon thoughts of Torah? You don't get a mitzvah for thinking Torah? He says, the verse says, v'higisa bo yoma melayla, you should think about Torah day and night, which implies there's a mitzvah to think about thoughts of Torah. So he says, how could it be that there's no requirement to make a bracha upon thoughts of Torah? So he argues that one would be obligated to recite a bracha upon thoughts of Torah. So the Vilna Gaon is understood. He holds in his logic that everything is dependent upon the performance of the mitzvah of Torah study. That's why he writes women are exempt. That's why he writes if there's interruption of sleep, one is obligated to make a new bracha. Therefore, he follows in his line of reasoning, and he says that if you think thoughts of Torah, you also get a mitzvah. Therefore, there's a requirement to recite a bracha. But the question is, what is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch? Even if the Shulchan Aruch understood that it's a bracha upon thanking Hashem, why would one not be obligated to thank Hashem upon thoughts of Torah? So this is a question I had. So perhaps we could understand this with a very unique approach from the Brisker Rav. And this is a people who may be not familiar with the thought process of the Brisker dynasty. Everything is sort of, letter of the law. And whatever it says in the Gemara, sort of, that's what it is. And sort of they take this similar approach over here. So the Brisker Rav quotes in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that he says that until now we've been discussing what type of a bracha of a Birchas HaTorah is. And we said typically we have three types of brachas. A bracha upon performance of a mitzvah. A bracha upon benefiting from something, like a bracha over food. Or bracha upon thanks, thanking Hashem for things. And Rav Chaim says, by bracha of a Torah is unique, and it does not fall into any of those categories. He says, it's simply a bracha, there's a requirement that the mitzvah of, that the Torah requires a bracha. And he explains that women, although they're not obligated to study Torah, nevertheless, they're connected to the essence of Torah. So he says, it's a bracha upon the essence of Torah. It's a new halacha, which we don't find anywhere else, that the essence of Torah requires a bracha. Therefore, women also are connected to the essence of Torah as they have their halachas, which pertain to them. And accordingly, we could say that the Shulchan Aruch understood the requirement to recite the bracha daily is not an obligation upon thanking Hashem, but it's a requirement that the essence of the Torah requires a daily blessing. But based on this, we can understand why one who just merely thinks about Torah is not obligated to recite a bracha. Because as we know it, the Torah, how it was given over and it is mainly learned and transmitted, is through speech. Thoughts of Torah is not the real essence of Torah, per se. Even though, yes, it's a big part of Torah study, as every time you read a Gemara, you have to think about it, or else you won't understand what's going on. But the primary essence of Torah is given and learned, was transmitted and learned through speech. So therefore, just mere thoughts of Torah do not qualify, according to the Shulchan Aruch, as essence of Torah, and therefore there's no obligation. Based on this, we can understand a very interesting question that the Shulchan Aruch, although he writes that there's no obligation to recite a bracha upon thoughts of Torah, but he writes only on speech, verbalizing Torah. But I just want to make an important thing, that hearing Torah is different. Hearing is more similar to speech. So if you're in a shir, listening to someone speak, you're hearing a speech, so that qualifies as speech, so therefore there's obligation. Or you're listening to a cassette or a shir online, that's considered as, it's connected to a verbal Torah, so there is an obligation. But here we're talking about someone thinking Torah without any verbalization at all. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch opines there's no obligation, whereas the Vilna Gaon held that there is an obligation to recite a bracha. But the Shulchan Aruch, even though he exempts a bracha upon Torah thoughts, nevertheless, he says, if you write down Torah, let's say you just want to write Torah, he says, there is an obligation. Why should there be a difference? If everything's dependent upon verbalizing Torah, then why should there be a distinction between speech and writing? I mean, thoughts and writing. So perhaps based on this concept that the bracha was instituted upon the essence of Torah, the essence of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is the main primary way Torah is given over and learned, which is through verbalization, not merely through thinking, then we could, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, that's why perhaps speech is different, because writing is different, because writing is one of the main ways to study Torah, as Torah is written down, and that's one of the main ways to transmit Torah, as most Svarim came about through writing. So let's just try to sum up over here and get back to our practical case about the person who's staying up all night home alone. So the question was, someone is staying up all night Shavuos and they're home alone. What's the halacha? Do they recite a bracha in the morning or not? So there's four practical ways one could recite a bracha. Number one, if they slept during the daytime. If you take a real sleep, as we said, at least a half an hour in a comfortable place like a bed or a sofa chair, something comfortable, if you sleep for half an hour, not just dozing off for a couple minutes, then one would be obligated, according to all opinions, to recite a bracha the following morning on Shavuos. Because even if the mitzvah is, okay, let's just stay with the practical halakha. We don't have to get involved with the reasoning. So according to all opinions, Rav Akiva Eiger wrote that if one slept during the daytime, and now it's the next morning, one would be obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah according to all opinions. The second way one can make a bracha is, even if they didn't sleep, to ask one's wife to make a bracha. Or a daughter, whoever's around, the son. If there's someone else in the house who slept, even a wife, there's an opinion that one would allow to be yotze with their bracha. The third way to have a bracha is, even if you don't recite the typical Birchas HaTorah, is called through the reciting of the bracha upon Kriya Shema of Ava Rabba. Every morning when we cite the bracha of Ava Rabba, if you have in mind that it's going for the Torah study which you do during that day, and according to some opinions you might have to study a little something right after davening, but that bracha will fulfill your obligation of reciting a bracha over the Torah. So that's the third thing. And there's a fourth idea mentioned in the poskim, which is to specifically have in mind the Erev Shavuos, that your bracha the time will run out the next morning. So if you specifically have in mind that your bracha will only work for 24 hours, or less than 24 hours, depending on what time you daven, Erev Shavuos, but Erev Shavuos, if you have in mind that by the next morning your bracha will expire, then according to all opinions, you're allowed to make a bracha. So we discussed there's different reasonings behind the logic upon why there's one. Why are we obligated to recite a bracha? Are we thanking Hashem for his Torah? Is there an obligation upon the essence of the Torah? Or is it a bracha upon the performance of the mitzvah of Torah? And we discussed some practical examples about sleeping, about women, about just Torah thoughts, about writing Torah. And we said that there's four practical ways that one could recite a bracha Shavuos morning if they stayed up in their home, either through taking a nap, get someone else to recite the bracha, even one's wife, having kavana, specific intent, during Av Araba, or the fourth one is to have in mind Erev Shavuos that your bracha should expire. So everyone should have a good Shavuos, and Hashem should give us hashpas, and hopefully we'll once again be able to learn together in person, and we won't have these issues about reciting Birchas HaTorah alone in our homes. Everyone should have a good Shavuos. Is there any questions?
You mentioned child doing a bracha. Is that a child over bar mitzvah?
Over bar mitzvah, yeah. Over bar mitzvah.
Okay. Over bracha, yeah. When we when we do daven together, when we did the glass, you know, in the shul, in the morning, then there's an issue, some issue where you're not supposed to say Baruch Hu and Baruch Shemo, the congregants are not. Why is that?
Okay, so that is basically anytime you want to be Yotze a Bracha, if you want someone to recite a Bracha on your behalf, then you have to, he's making it for you. So we only recite Baruch Hu and Baruch Shemo if you don't want to be Yotze with him. So if you are already Yotze, let's say the morning brachas, every morning, right, you already recited at your seat, and now the chazan goes up, and you just want to answer to him, so then you say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, because it's not going on you. But if you want to be Yotze with that bracha, then you cannot recite that, because that would be considered a hefsek, an interruption, and one would not be Yotze then.
Okay.
Kerry, if I can jump in, the same way by Kiddush, we don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, because you're listening and being Yotze with the person making Kiddush.
Okay.